Thanks, Holden. Welcome to the School Resource Network. I am the school counselor for the Aleutians East Borough School District, helping students in the areas of academic, career, and social-emotional learning. And I'm excited to be back on the radio again this year. This year, we're going to be on this radio every 2 weeks. So let's see, today's the 31st. We'll be back on the 14th. And last time we had Superintendent Mayor talking about all the things new for the school year and getting us set up. And now we have Mr. Barker, principal at King Cove. Welcome.
Thank you, Lindsay. It's great to be here.
And I'm so excited for our conversation today. But, you know, I think I would love to know kind of a little bit more about you. And we all have journeys to where we are today. So I'd love to hear yours and how you landed at the principal position at King Cove.
Sure, yeah. We all do have journeys, you know, and everybody's journey is different, right? And just because your journey or your path might be a little bit different than someone else's, it doesn't mean that it's in any way, shape, or form wrong, right? A lot of times we envision the pathway to success just being a straight line from one point to another, kind of ascending. But gosh, I mean, I'm a good example of that path, just kind of dipping and doing some squiggly lines as it makes its way up and then dropping a little bit more and then winding up to its final destination. So, my journey started in New Jersey. That's where I graduated from in 2012 with a degree in education and history, with dreams and high hopes of being a high school or junior high social studies teacher in a New Jersey classroom. When I graduated from college, Lindsay, our nation was in the middle of just a massive just overage of teachers, and jobs were just non-existent for teachers at the time, especially in a crowded, just completely inundated workplace environment like New Jersey offered. So finding a job was tough. I wound up looking in different states and just looking to get out of New Jersey in that just flooded teacher job market that I was experiencing. And one of those places was Alaska. And I remember just cold calling King Cove School in the early spring of 2012 and chatting with the principal and basically just asking if they had any jobs available, and just wound up getting an interview and was hired within the next couple of days. Being a young kid from New Jersey, I had no idea what King Cove was like. I had no idea what Alaska was like. It was a completely new thing for me. It was completely foreign to me, both, geographically and culturally. So I wound up moving to King Cove that fall and taught sixth grade for 2 years and then fourth grade for 3 years, and that was completely different for me too because I was a trained high school teacher. So I wound up teaching elementary school, which really helped me craft my teaching and the instruction of reading and literacy. King Cove School in this district taught me how to be a reading teacher because I wasn't a reading teacher when I graduated from my bachelor's degree institution at Ramapo College. I taught in King Cove for 5 years, and then I thought that my time was up and that I should move on to somewhere else. And I wound up taking a job on the road system with these ideas that I was going to enjoy being on the road system. Everybody talked about how nice it was. You could drive to Anchorage and, that you could be connected and go to fast food places and whatnot. And so I took a job in Glen Allen at the Copper River School District, and immediately, I don't know if it happened quite so fast or if I had to wait for the first cold snap that went to 30 degrees below zero, but that just made me miss the Aleutians in a huge way. I missed the ocean, I missed the storms, I missed the weather, the milder climate. I miss the people, the community more than anything. I miss the kids, and I just wanted to come home. So I decided to come back after that 1 year in Glen Allen. Couldn't get a job back here in King Cove. There were no availabilities, so I wound up taking a job at Sandpoint and did had an interesting experience there my first year as a special education resource teacher. And then one year, last year, as a fourth grade teacher again, which was really my niche at that point, was teaching those upper elementary grades. And then, during my time in King Cove, the first 5 years, I had pursued my master's degree in educational leadership at the University of Alaska and wound up with my master's degree in the spring of 2017. So was qualified during that whole span, but just really wanted to get more years of teaching under my belt before I went into administration. I always believe that administrators should have, a wealth of different, diverse, teaching experiences, as well as just the years and the experience in the classroom is so important. So I just kind of was sitting on that master's degree for a few years, but then when the principal job opened up here in King Cove, I really just saw an opportunity for the right time to go ahead and apply, and was encouraged and got a lot of great advice from former mentors and current mentors, and was fortunate enough to get that position in the spring of 2020. Now, I just want to make sure that you know that, Lindsay, I had landed this job before COVID. So I didn't know what quite, I didn't, the whole COVID picture wasn't clear when I got this job. So it's been an experience, certainly being a new principal with a pandemic going on. But, I've always told my students not to be afraid and to take things head on and just be strong when it comes to adversity, and just trying to embody that for them. But, that's been just a little bit of my journey, and I look forward to continuing it here as I lead this amazing staff in this building forward, and just thrilled to be here.
Yeah, I heard a lot in your journey about what you really pay attention to that feels good, and when you know that inner voice that says, this doesn't feel right, like I need to go home, and you having such a vested interest in King Cove and for Aleutians East, like that I know shows through your energy and through the expectations that you have for people in the building, for the community. And I would like you just to expand a little bit on what those expectations mean to you and to your students.
Yeah, thanks. That's a great follow-up there, Lindsay. And I've always considered myself a lifelong learner. I believe in collaboration and the way that we can learn from others, and just that, two minds are greater than one, three are better than two, and so on. So I try to embody that for the students here, and I just want the best for them, and I want to make sure that the school here is serving those students at every level. No matter, where they are in their educational journey or where they are in their learning processes, that we can identify them and what those goals are, what their strengths and their weaknesses are. And we could just let them know that we're sympathetic and supportive of any situation that our students have or whatever their goals may be. We want to support that. So a lot of that involves a lot of planning, but it also involves a lot of hard work. As we look forward, and I'm very grateful for the team that I have to work with. Mr. Emanuelson over in Sandpoint, I think he'll be on your show at some point, right?
You are correct. He's the next 2 weeks on the 14th.
Yes. So Mr. E over in Sandpoint and I, we've been communicating all summer, and then Mr. Mayor, of course, he's just been a great leader for me as a new principal. And also just setting that path forward for what our goals are for students within this district, and just having that closely aligned educational vision and philosophy, it's just been great to experience, and just the opportunities that we've been able to create between myself and you, Lindsay, for some of our seniors have been just amazing. So that's what I'd like to talk about a little bit, is just what some of the seniors are doing here at King Cove School, because I believe in those seniors in such a huge way. They they're the leaders of the building. You know, they in the student body, everyone looks up to the seniors to see what they're doing, and they really set the tone. So they were the first students that I talked to, and I know that Mr. E is going to laugh if he's listening, but I had them all over at the school for a senior dinner, and I just chatted with them about what their goals were before the school year started, and I told them what I expect from a senior and what I want to see from them as seniors, and also allowed them to tell me what they expect and, you know, how the school can help them achieve their goals and see what they want. And I was able to meet with them and their families, and that was critical because it really got us off to a great foot as we started school last week. The seniors have taken that on in a headstrong way by filling their schedule with rigorous classes. They've taken it head on by identifying what they want to do, at least a framework of what they want to do when they turn that tassel in May, you know, when we finally hold them that diploma. So we have seniors taking courses that vary from art and drawing all the way to medical terminology, which, I mean, it's just amazing when I think about what they're doing. It's just, you know, I'm just humbled at how easy it was and how the communication and the relationships just jumped right forward, and they were just enthusiastic about their own learning. So that's just a little bit on the expectations. And I told the student body when I was able to actually meet with them in my first address, you know, to the whole student body, which was so weird too, Lindsay, because I had to do it over Zoom. Instead of a bleacher-filled, gymnasium that I would have preferred. But I was able to address all the high school students, and when I told them about the expectations here at King Cove School this year, especially in the high school end, I said, look no further than your seniors, and you're going to see how hard they're working, and I think that you guys should work even harder. So that's just a little bit on what we're doing here at King Cove School, starting with our seniors and then working our way down, all the way down to our littlest students down in the preschool.
That is, like, so incredible to hear, because that really is what we're here for, is to provide these opportunities for students where they can see what their future career looks like. They can practice what they want their life to look like and what they want to learn. And by bringing in these dual credit classes that you're talking about, like drawing and medical terminology, you know, they get a chance to explore that in the comfort of their community. And that means a lot, because for those students that leave and go outside, there's a lot of culture shock that happens. And there's a lot of speed learning, I guess. You know, you have to learn on the fly and who to connect with at a college. And just being able to take one class can teach a student a lot about what that life looks like. And so to hear that excitement in your voice that it's going well and that we're here to support that opportunity, like, means a lot for our student body. And the example that you said, that is going to show the underclassmen and the rest of the student body what that senior year looks like. I think it'll change the way our students talk about and feel about school. And, you know, yeah. You mentioned a lot of adversity as well. And, you know, I think about last year's seniors and how much adversity they faced. And, you know, now our juniors who face the same thing, you know, with COVID in the spring, are now in a situation where it's their senior year and there's a lot of uncertainty in that. And so how have you prepared the school and the community for the uncertainty of COVID?
Yeah, and that's a great topic to bring up here, Lindsay. And you know, I just want to start off by saying when it comes to everything that we had to do to prepare to get ready for the school year here at King Cove School and across the district, I mean, it could not have been done without teamwork. You know, we had countless hours of collaboration this year as some of the leaders in our communities came together throughout the entire summer, just really beating our heads against the wall for a lot of the time while we were trying to figure out what this was going to look like, because things were just changing so fast in regards to regulations and expectations from the Department of Health and the CDC and the Department of Education and Early Childhood Development. It was almost like an every other day difference. I saw a really funny meme over the summer that said, every teacher this summer, checking their email to see what's changed over the last 4 minutes. And that just reminded me. I was like, yeah, that's basically what we're going through this summer. But
you mentioned earlier in your journey just about, the years of school and getting to be a principal during COVID and kind of that whole meme discussion. There's a lot out there where, like, you can be a veteran educator and years in the profession, and you are a first-year educator this year. Everybody, whether you're a preschool teacher, a principal, a superintendent, is all first year again. Like, I feel like this COVID has just wiped experience away in a way that we've never had to educate like this before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And when it comes to what we're doing here at the school, I mean, our teachers are just doing unbelievable things in the classroom. We're here at the school. I mean, we're doing a lot. I mean, we're doing so much to keep this keep this virus out of our building and keep it clean. Everything from heavier sanitization and practices on custodial staff to mandatory check-ins on temperature for students as they come in, and just working with families in a collaborative conversation unit in regards to travel and close contacts and. And just pleading with them to quarantine and get tested before they come back to school. And, the district office has done amazing things, too, just in regards to just an expectation, a realistic expectation, really, where everyone's just going to be working together to keep this school clean and healthy and safe and all the students and the staff here the same. Lindsay, I was losing sleep on the days before school because I was just having these visions of students, rebelling against mask wearing. You flip on the news and you hear about people that argue about wearing masks and, not wanting the social distance and the community being non-receptive to some of these things. And I was having just all these negative, like this wave of negative thoughts without any proof that it was going to happen, and then the first day of school came and every student comes into school with a mask, and they're all wearing their masks and they're all wearing different kinds. And there's a few that don't have, and we're handing them out. And, I was having visions of, in our screening station here at the school that has been on the district Facebook page and the website, of kids just tackling each other and just like pushing into each other. And, I'm just having these horrible thoughts. And, they all come in every morning and they stand on their dot and they wait to get their temperature taken. And it's just really been just such a relaxing feeling for me. I'm just so filled with gratitude when I think about what the parents have done, as if they didn't do enough in March and April and early May, as we were, working in an emergency response to try to educate their children and everything they did in that regard. And then all the prep. I mean, that just involves prep, right? I mean, you can get a child to learn anything. That's one of my philosophies as an educator. And we didn't do that here at the school. The parents did. We sent home notices. We told them what to expect, but it was the parents that were getting students ready to wear masks, and it was the parents that were telling them, to be receptive to everything the teachers were saying. And then when the students finally got here, the teachers have just been so caring, and so patient as they teach. Literally everything that they did back in March is gone upside down and changed. And the teachers are contacting families. They're being gentle with students as they relax. If they forget to wear their mask in class, or if they accidentally come too close and get within 6 feet, I'm just so filled with just an amazing feeling of just happiness when it comes to how easy it was, and it just, there was no reason for me to have any of those feelings of apprehension, because this is just an amazing community and we have just incredible teachers that put the student first as a person, right? Not just a student. They consider their their emotional state, and they consider everything that these kids have been through since March 14th when we closed the school down. And it's just been humbling to watch it as the leader here, to just watch it unfold over the first week of school.
When you talked about the students coming in, and the parents really prepping them on the expectation of school, and when you said they came in with their masks on already, like, to me, like, that just spoke of an unwritten language of, like, I'm ready to face adversity. Whatever comes at me, I'm ready. You know, I feel like that mask was, like, a part of that underlying attitude towards school. And I think you have a lot of students with grit in your building, and it sounds like it's showing. And that means that, you know, whatever comes next, like, you guys are ready to address it and figure it out on the fly. And those are all skills you need to face adversity.
Yeah. And you know what, Lindsay, also, just chatting with some students, I've talked to the seniors a lot, and I'm just, as I pop into classrooms and talk to kids during lunch, which are all in classrooms, and it's so bizarre what our teachers and what our staff is doing. I mean, it's everything that was previously in education is just different here at the school.
Yeah.
But anyway, one of the things that they're doing is just with the lunch happening in the classrooms. I mean, the teachers are there supervising their students, and that's precious time to a teacher, and just another thing that's just been easy, as we transition into the school year. I thought it was going to be a huge challenge, and, it's been difficult, but it wound up being a lot easier than I thought. But as I chat with these students, one thing that I've learned is that, if students ever took school for granted sometime in the past, and, they might not have appreciated teachers or, the institution of school or what the school provides in regards to community services or, in addition to the education, obviously, that's no longer existent, right? I mean, they are so happy to be back here, and they want their school to stay open. So I think that's the big motivating factor in regards to everything that they're doing, that if whatever they can do to keep this school clean and healthy and safe, they're willing to do, because they do not want to go back to a school closure. They miss their friends. They miss their relationships with their teachers. They missed a hot lunch, right, in the building, which we're providing every day to the kids. And so, just chatting with students as we started school, and I'm just getting tons of that feedback, is that, they're just so happy to be back, and this is where they want to be.
So let's talk about that for a second, because you mentioned about, like, opportunities and just how they feel about the community, and it's provided, I think, a deeper love and respect than maybe what was before in certain situations. So what have you been able to do to keep opportunities available during COVID?
Yeah, that's a great question. And something that's kind of ongoing, right? Because, here in King Cove, really in the whole borough, we are just crazy about student activities, right? I mean, the opportunities that what our high school students do is, it fuels this community, especially in the doldrums of winter, the darkness and the rough weather.
Oh, yeah.
So that was right in my headlight understanding as we started the school year. It's not just school that we want to bring back, but it's student activities. So our cross country team is running, and I know that we have a virtual meet here planned in the next 2 weeks. I think it's on September 11th on that Friday, the morning the ferry comes in here, our last ferry. And, I've been chatting with our athletic director, because I once held that position in the district for the last 2 years. And, I'm just chatting with Amy Mack, and I say, how are you going to have a virtual cross-country meet? Like, what does that even look like? And
So,
I mean, what I'm understanding is that the kids are going to run. And there's going to be a running clock in both places, and it's going to be on a live link so that, we can see the finishers happening in both places. And And we're going to be able to compare times and have a district champion without kids having to travel. Because, you know, as I'm sure all your listeners are aware of, you know, it's the travel aspect of, you know, this pandemic is what really makes having student activity difficult. So, but we're taking it one season at a time. We're considering safety and health first before we consider anything else. And if we can safely have students playing sports in the school, you know, whatever that looks like, you know, we're gonna do it because we know how important that is. Now, with that same regard, in regards to student activities and, you know, after school clubs, something that Mr. E and I have been chatting a lot about is coming up with some socially distanced clubs at both of our sites. So you're gonna see things like archery. Ultimate Frisbee, esports, happening here. Maybe some, like a drone club or a robotics club, where we can engage students, in a socially distanced way. And we're going to get the support from, that we need from our community. We just know it because, we all understand how important those student activities are, and, you know, how healthy it makes the entire community.
That's amazing to hear all those. I love the esports idea for sure. And then you had mentioned the ultimate frisbee. Like, how cool. Is there what do you call it, an ultimate frisbee? Is that the football one, or is that the one where you have the buckets and it's like golf, frisbee golf?
Now, frisbee golf is a whole different thing that I would love to see here. But ultimate frisbee is like the football one, yeah.
Oh, okay. I got them confused. I'm excited. I want to play.
Hey, frisbee golf. That is, I don't know how people do that. That's a real challenge there.
Yeah, I've played before. In our community, we have what would you call it? A track, a course. We have a course set up in our community, and it's fun.
There's frisbee golf all over Anchorage and all around South Central.
Yeah, okay, so these clubs aren't set up yet. They're kind of in, like, the thinking, organizing phase. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. Especially when it comes to student activities like volleyball and others. You know, we're taking ASAA's advice and taking it one, you know, just one season at a time. So we're planning that out as they come. But in regard to the clubs and some of those after-school clubs, we've started talking dates, but we're also just with the first week of school under our belts, you know, we're just trying to get our feet wet here and just make sure that we can safely do this here at school and really just make sure that we iron out all the crinkles and, you know, and just take care of all the little, tightening up all the nuts and bolts here in the actual building with all the different changes and everything before we actually start jumping into any of those clubs. But we know we're going to get the support from the district and from the community. And we've already started talking about dates and what some of those clubs might look like. So we're ready. We're getting ready to start moving forward.
That is so cool. I'm excited to hear that. Okay. Let's talk about some checkoff items here. So one thing that came to mind was you were talking about the virtual cross country meet. Is there a way we can watch, attend, view? How does that work for fans?
Yeah, and I know that our athletic director is ironing all this out in regards to regulations that fans are going to have to adhere to, but social distancing and mask wearing is going to be mandatory, even with it outside, right? And there's going to be particular areas that are off where spectators can't visit. Just to keep the student athletes safe and at a guaranteed social distance. But we do plan on having spectators, but we're not 100% sure on what that's going to look like. But I imagine that that's going to be released soon.
Okay. And we're still, as far as school day goes, we're still on the 1 o'clock release. Do you know how long we're going to be at 1 o'clock release?
Yeah, definitely. So this whole week, so Superintendent Mayer, he recommended that we just do this, kind of like I said, just getting our feet wet and get the schools open and just kind of take this slowly. So he recommended that we do this early out for the first 2 weeks of school to kind of just get everybody acclimated a little bit. So we're running an early dismissal this entire week, Monday through Friday, where we have elementary students being dismissed at 1 o'clock. They're starting up at 8 o'clock. And our high school students arrive at about 8:20 in time to get their screening, their health screening, and then they start classes at 8:30. And then every day this week, they're being released at 1:30.
Okay, so we're still on the early release. Awesome. And then to follow up, like, on all of these amazing opportunities and these after-school clubs that are kind of in the building phase, how can people follow you on social media so they get, like, first up-to-date news out of Mr. Barker's mouth or fingers or computer screen or you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So you can always check the district website or the district Facebook page. But I also have am trying to get pretty integrated on Twitter. I'm trying to get my staff on Twitter and get them motivated to follow me, just so I can start accruing followers. You know, Lindsay, that's the big thing. But yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. My my tag name or whatever it's called on Twitter is at Mr. Paul Barker, and I post on there. I try to get up there daily, if not every couple of days. But, yeah, check me out on social media. I just got a big follow on Twitter last week. John Cena is following me on Twitter.
What? How did you luck out on that?
Yeah, and I do have also the Alaska famous Ann Zink. She's following me, too, on Twitter.
Amazing. So I believe it's called a Twitter handle.
That's it. There you go, Lindsay. It's a Twitter handle. That's right.
At Mr. Paul Barker.
That's it.
And I believe you possibly could have a hashtag trending. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, our hashtag that our whole staff has kind of jumped onto during the in-service. Our hashtag embodies King Cove, really, as a community. So I really, I didn't come up with it myself. I might have just come up with the terminology. But it's something that the community here has had long before I got here and will have long after I'm gone. So the hashtag is hashtag stronger together.
So anybody that wants to post something about the community or maybe like pictures from the meet, they could always hashtag stronger together and kind of promote that community online.
Exactly. Yes, that's right, Lindsay. Yep.
That's so cool. I'm looking forward to seeing the fruition of Stronger Together come to life on Twitter. Are you on Facebook? I believe the district has a Facebook page, and I believe that's where we can also find information about up-and-coming events and information.
Yeah, the district has its Illusions Eastborough Facebook page. And I'm also exploring, I don't know if there's one activated or not, but I'm looking at either reinvigorating or reigniting a King Cove School Facebook page or creating one myself to get the message out on Facebook as well.
Awesome. So what I'm hearing is even though we're, still fighting the COVID procedures and protocols, King Cove is forging ahead and adapting and creating amazing opportunities in and amongst all the adversity that we're facing. So I love to hear what you guys are doing, and it sounds so positive and energetic.
Yeah, it sure is, Lindsay. Yeah, I mean, that's what we do here at King Cove. That's what they've always done, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
Amazing. Well, Mr. Barker, thank you so much for the update of what's happening at King Cove this school year, and I know I'll have you back on the show probably towards the end of first semester to hear about the updates and how the semester went and kick us off for the new year. So we'll be talking to you in a couple months.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Lindsay. I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity to come on and just brag about King Cove School a little bit, especially ahead of Mr. Emanuelson's standpoint. Glad I was able to get on ahead of him.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining the School Resource Network today.
All right. Thanks, Lindsay. Bye-bye.
Bye.